The Don't Blame the Gorilla Job, a Leverage fanfic, written by Scientilla 10 and read by Schmaler, created as a gift for Lunate 8 for the informal Twitter Podfic Exchange 2015. Summary. Later, Hardison tried to blame it on the gorilla. Later, Hardison tried to blame it on the gorilla. It had all gone down so quickly, though. Elliot didn't remember a gorilla being there. But even if there had been one, he was damn well prepared to put money on it being Hardison's fault. At least a little bit. Nate and Sophie were squabbling good-naturedly in the kitchen when Elliot showed up. That was par for the course, so Elliot ignored them and dropped onto the couch next to Hardison, who was tapping away intently on his laptop. Which was also par for the course, really. Parker was perched on the armrest, hanging over Hardison's shoulder. Her eyes were bright with interest, so even though Elliot was, as a general rule, uninterested in the kinds of things Hardison got up to on the internet, he leaned in too. "I could finish this a hell of a lot faster if the two of you would back up out of my personal bubble," Hardison said grumpily. In perfect synchronicity, Elliot and Parker leaned in closer. "What are you doing?" Elliot said. "Parker is very good at getting in and out of highly secure places without being seen," Hardison said. "But I am astoundingly good at ensuring that she was never there in the first place." "He's giving me an alibi for the job I pulled in Cairo," Parker explained.
"What job you pulled in Cairo?"
"Exactly," Parker said happily. Elliot grunted and moved out of Hardison's space to sit back against the couch. Parker seemed to take this as an opportunity to hover even lower over Hardison's shoulder.
"Will you?"
Hardison leaned forward and twisted his neck to glare at Parker.
"You're literally breathing down my neck here. Not cool."
"That file was a year and a half old," Elliot said. "Why are you bothering with an alibi now?" He tried to ignore the way Hardison's eyes flashed up at him in surprise. What, did he think Elliot was completely computer illiterate? Hardison had already turned his attention back to the screen.
"Well, we take care of one another," he said absently.
"Well, yeah," Elliot thought. "But..." The thing was, Elliot had made a career out of taking care of people, both by watching out for his team or client, and by disposing of threats. He was damn good at it, too. But with this crew, the rules were different. And the way Hardison said, "take care of one another," like it was natural and expected, and above all, simple, made Elliot squirm a little on the inside. Parker tapped a finger gently on Hardison's shoulder, in a rhythm apparently audible only to her, and Hardison twitched and scowled under it. But he didn't shrug her hand off either. Elliot watched the two of them, feeling for a distracted moment like he was at a distance, like he was looking in on them from the outside. Then Sophie breezed in, Nate following behind her. 20 minutes later, Nate declared,
"Let's go steal a zoo."
And the con was on.
"Do you think a giraffe could beat a gorilla?" Parker asked.
"Big, naughty cats are my particular specialty," Sophie breathed over the comms.
"In a foot race?"
Hardison said to Parker. His eyes were a little wider than usual. Elliot suspected that was a direct result of Sophie saying provocative things in that breathy voice thing she pulled on clients. Sophie was in the process of selling a white tiger named Luther, actually the property of the Franklin Park Zoo, to their Mark. The Mark wanted Luther for a private menagerie he was assembling,
apparently bad enough that he was willing to scrape together Sophie's astronomical price, even though it would force him to access the accounts he was withholding from his daughter-in-law, who happened to be their client. Selling the tiger required Hardison and Parker to wander around the zoo dressed as zookeepers, keeping the public away from the tiger's cage while Sophie made the sale. Elliot had been fully prepared to mock them for wearing stupid-looking shorts and visors or something, but the uniforms were actually kind of... well, he wasn't sure what they were. They didn't have anything on Sophie's lion tamer outfit, but Elliot still found them a little, distracting. They were both showing a lot of leg. Well, a lot of calf. "No, not a foot race," Parker was saying, annoyed. "A fight to the death." Elliot snorted and pushed his hair off his face. Parker had a tendency to get bored waiting in the van. "Under what circumstances would a giraffe be fighting a gorilla?" he demanded. "A strong hand with the whip, and they roll over like kittens," Sophie continued.
"I would pay to see that fight,"
Hardison said contemplatively. Elliot suspected he was fantasizing about how many YouTube hits his camera phone video of the fight would get. Probably a lot, Elliot thought. "I would steal something to see that fight," Parker compromised. "It would be pretty cool. An actual cage fight." She paused. "Well, unless they had escaped from the zoo first or something, then it would be a street fight." "Oh, that's nothing. Just a little love bite," Sophie said.
"Rumble in the jungle,"
Hardison added, and Elliot cuffed him on the shoulder to make Hardison shut up. Not that it worked. The Mark pulled up to the zoo entrance with Sophie and two bodyguards. The bodyguards had a stupidly obvious lack of training, practice, and ability. One of them took the SUV over to visitors' parking, where he sat like a lump in the driver's seat, obliviously reading a creased Clive Barker novel. He didn't even notice Elliot dropping the tracer on the car. It was disgustingly easy. Elliot was almost embarrassed for him. He was making his way back to the van, doing an automatic sweep of the parking lot, when Sophie let out a gasp over the comms. Shocked, scared, real. And something sharp twisted unexpectedly in Elliot's gut.
"What?"
he barked out.
"What? What's the matter?" Nate said rapidly in his ear. "Sophie, is everyone okay?"
"Oh my God," Sophie was saying, over and over. And shit, she was the lion tamer. The lion tamer! And Parker and Hardison were there too! In the next instant, Elliot was running across the parking lot, vaulting over the stiles at the zoo's entrance, darting past zoo security, heart pounding in his throat. At first, all he could register was Hardison's body. Hardison, crumpled on the ground with Sophie and Parker crouched over him. Elliot stood there for an endless, aching moment, unable to move, unable to breathe. The three of them seemed so shockingly far away from him, so abruptly vulnerable, and Elliot couldn't get to them, couldn't make his feet move. Then, suddenly, his senses kicked back in. There were spectators standing around, he realized, instead of, say, running for their lives from a loose lion or a renegade gunman. And, thank God, Hardison was moving, was saying irritably, "I'm not a goddamn damsel in distress, thank you very much. I don't need smelling salts or whatever the hell that is. Ow! Sweet baby Jesus! Fixing that pothole should be some very important person's top priority, because this is a public pathway, goddammit, and people's ankles are trying to get places." Something about the familiar sarcasm of Hardison's voice jolted Elliot into moving again. He did a quick visual sweep of the perimeter. Really too fucking late for that, Spencer. And a rough check over the crowd. And then moved closer, murmuring, "Parker?" into the calm.
She twisted her head, spotted him, and whispered something to Sophie before walking over to him.
"Broken ankle," she said quietly.
Elliot nodded and forced his eyes away from the gut-twisting sight of Hardison lying on the ground. Then zoo security showed up, and Elliot had to talk them out of throwing him out of the zoo, and then organize getting the van pulled up to the gate, while Sophie and Nate distracted the Mark, who looked ready to ditch them all. Things were so much easier when all Elliot had to do was punch people.
"I was just getting a look at the gorilla," Hardison said defensively in the waiting room of the ER.
"It's okay, Hardison," Sophie said soothingly.
"Nobody said anything about not taking the scenic route back to the van, is all I'm saying."
"We weren't there to sightsee," Nate said sharply. Elliot recognized the tone as Nate's worried, sick voice, with the generous helping of, "If everyone would stop being total and complete idiots, other people could sleep a lot better at night." Sometimes, Elliot thought grimly, he and Nate were a little too much on the same page.
"I'll go back to the zoo with you on our day off," Parker offered.
"If you don't make us pay admission." Hardison smiled at her. It was the first time since the zoo that Elliot thought Hardison's expression was even a little bit familiar, and he stared at Hardison with almost a dizzying sense of relief, until his gaze dropped again to the way Hardison's ankle was propped gingerly in front of him, wrapped in ice packs and swathed in Sophie's bright red scarf, and a fresh wave of guilt swept through him like nausea. Elliot gritted his teeth and didn't say anything at all. Hardison left the hospital with a cast on his left ankle and a bottle of painkillers clutched in his hand. Parker left with 2 wallets, 4 ID badges, a stethoscope, and an 8-month-old Us Weekly magazine.
"I had itchy fingers," she said, glancing at Elliot sideways.
Elliot's fingers had been itchy while Hardison was getting patched up, too. Mind skittery, muscles tense, nerves strung tight. He'd found a gym down the street and spent 40 minutes pounding a punching bag until he felt relatively human again. Elliot made Parker go and turn in her loot to the lost and found. She came back with the Us Weekly still clutched defiantly in her hands.
"If y'all are done with the to-ing and fro-ing, there's an injured person back here who'd love to get home before he falls asleep in this smelly truck," Hardison said from the back seat.
"My truck doesn't smell," Elliot said, affronted.
"We're stopping for food," Parker said.
Knowing the likely contents of Hardison's fridge, Elliot heartily agreed. Pain medication seemed to make Hardison more talkative than normal, which, in Elliot's estimation, was already too talkative by half. By the time they reached his apartment, Hardison had complained, mostly coherently, about the lack of Jell-O at the hospital, the weather, the radio station, Elliot's jarring driving, the slow speed of the elevator in his building, and Parker's choice of takeout.
"Christ," Elliot said. "You are one bad patient."
He held the crutches while Hardison half fell onto the couch. As he watched, Hardison let out a long sigh, and the tightness around his eyes seemed to relax, just a little.
"You want to play doctor with me, Elliot?"
he said lowly, in something that was not quite his voice. Elliot stared until Hardison glanced up at him, eyes wide and candid. It was the meds in his system, Elliot thought.
"Elevate your leg,"
he ordered gruffly, and turned away so Hardison wouldn't see the look on his face.
"He's always liked Ty before," Parker said in the doorway, half worried, half petulant.
She raised her voice so Hardison could hear her.
"Last time we had Ty, you ate all the spring rolls."
"He's just cranky," Elliot said.
"I am not cranky," Hardison protested, and Elliot was relieved that he sounded more like himself. "Absolutely, positively not cranky. but I am bored. Bored, bored, bored. Do you know how long I was stuck contemplating my dire fate? Sorry, I mean, of course, the fate of Alexander Malcolm Whitaker, whose insurance is really top-notch, by the way. In that hospital room? And without even a basic internet connection. My God, the humanity. Let me tell you, hospitals are the essence of... No, wait, the epicenter of boredom. No, I mean the epitome.
I'm pretty certain that's not true, Parker said reasonably, settling cross-legged onto the hardwood floor and opening the takeout boxes. Otherwise, why are there so many primetime network television shows set in hospitals?
Oh, right, Hardison drawled. That's just great. The moment I am physically incapacitated and heavily duped, dosed with drugs, you decide to start a pop culture debate. With me! Believe me, you will not win a pop culture debate against me, even if the two of you were on a team against just me, by myself. I mean, me by myself and you on a team. You two. Together.
He paused and seemed to collect himself.
Elliot doesn't even have a TV, he added pointedly.
Elliot frowned at Hardison, who had managed to wiggle himself into what had to be the most uncomfortable position Elliot had ever seen.
Were you not listening when the doctor said to keep your leg elevated?
Elliot growled. Hardison blinked at him.
What?
He said.
Here,
Parker said unexpectedly. She pushed a cushion gently into place beneath his foot. Elliot watched, feeling weirdly helpless as she helped Hardison settle his leg onto it.
Does it hurt?
Parker said.
Nuh-uh, no way,
Hardison said, his voice sounding a little woozy. We call them painkillers for a reason. I think I'm gonna marry Codeine.
I'm sure the two of you will be very happy together,
Elliot said shortly, and went to make tea. While he was in the kitchen, Parker and Hardison conspired to turn on an episode of Doctor Who. Hardison flashed a smug grin at him when he came back in, like he'd pulled one over on Elliot or something. Elliot rolled his eyes. It was true there was a hockey game on, but it wasn't like he couldn't catch the score in the morning. Besides, Parker's running commentary during sports broadcasts was very, very irritating, and Elliot had made it a rule to avoid watching games with her.
Whatever, he said out loud.
He did have a reputation to uphold, after all. He added,
Drink your tea. Is this that gross one with the floaty bits in it?
Hardison said. He took the mug and eyed it doubtfully.
No, Elliot lied.
This one has Daleks in it, Parker told Elliot, pointing at the TV with her spoon.
The tea has what?
Hardison said in surprise. Then he seemed to notice the direction of Parker's spoon and started snickering at the idea of tea with Dalek bits in it. Parker wrinkled her nose and grinned, and Elliot concealed his own smirk behind a forkful of pad thai. Hardison fell asleep before the end of the second episode. At least he had eaten something, and despite his whining, he'd had 2 cups of tea. Parker followed Elliot into the kitchen with their mugs and the still half-full takeout boxes.
We can't let him sleep alone, she said while they loaded the dishwasher.
Hardison's kitchen was actually pretty nice. At least, it was pretty nice ever since Elliot had begun stealth-stalking it several months ago. Elliot had been staggered by how many basic and indispensable ingredients Hardison's diet of junk food and takeout apparently didn't require. Elliot shot her a look.
I don't see why the hell not, he said.
He might roll over and hurt his leg.
If there's someone else in the bed, he might roll over and hurt his leg and smack the other person with his cast,
Elliot pointed out. He had slept with a girl with a broken arm once, and getting whacked in the face with her cast was one of his more unpleasant wake-up calls.
considering that a number of wake-up calls in his life had included guns, arson, poisonous snakes, and, on one memorable occasion, guerrilla freedom fighters dropping in through the roof. That was saying something.
"Don't worry, Hardison could never hurt you," Parker said comfortingly.
Elliot glared at her.
"No one offered to sleep with me when I dislocated my shoulder," he pointed out. "I was fine."
"Hmm," Parker said, and proceeded to ignore him.
"Don't worry about Hardison rolling off the bed in the middle of the night. I'll sleep on his other side."
Elliot pressed his lips together. This was stupid, and Parker was being ridiculous. She was taking "take care of one another" too damn far.
"The bed can't be big enough for all three of us," he said flatly.
Parker grinned.
"Of course it is," she said. "This is Hardison. It's definitely a king size."
Elliot choked. Parker smiled serenely at him and wandered out of the kitchen, humming quietly, before he could get his coughing fit under control. Parker woke Hardison and then followed his hobbled gait to the bathroom, explaining in great detail how peeing sitting down would allow him to rest his leg and conserve his strength. Elliot tried unsuccessfully to hide his sniggering, and Hardison glared at both of them, emphatically refused Parker's help, and ordered her out of the en suite. Elliot grinned at her. She twitched her lips back at him and rolled her eyes. Then she promptly turned around and took off her shirt. Elliot stared for a second too long at the pale, unbroken curve of her spine before he abruptly averted his eyes. That one, he thought, he really should have been expecting. He'd only just decided it was safe to turn around again when the bathroom door opened and he was greeted with the sight of Hardison, clad only in his boxers and his cast. Shit, they were actually going to kill him. Hardison stared blankly at Parker, already snuggling down on the far side of the bed, and threw Elliot a glance. There was a kind of loose, helpless swooping in Elliot's stomach, and he said, scrabbling for a lifeline,
"You said it was all right to stay here, right?"
"Yeah, man," Hardison said, blinking.
"Of course, I just never thought you'd..."
He stopped as Elliot pulled back the covers on his side. "Your couch has crushed Cheez-Its in it," Parker said disapprovingly. Elliot bit his tongue to keep from pointing out that Parker's own cleaning habits wouldn't win any freaking awards. None of them had any practice at settling in one place long enough to acquire consistent cleaning habits. Well, beyond the cleaning required to wipe fingerprints.
"You're in the middle," Parker added to Hardison, who obeyed her silently for once in his life.
Elliot climbed in after Hardison settled onto his back, two extra pillows propped up under his cast. Parker turned out the light, and Elliot lay on the edge of the mattress, sharply aware of the proximity of both their bodies, not daring to move. It was a long time before he fell asleep. Elliot made coffee the next morning, and, when he heard signs of movement, started beating eggs and grating slightly stale cheddar for omelets.
"Hi," Parker said, padding into the kitchen on bare feet. Her hair looked all mussed, and Elliot could see her nipples under the thin t-shirt she was wearing. Hardison's shirt, if the "frack you toaster" on the back was anything to go by. Elliot looked quickly away. Shit, he was turning "not looking" into an Olympic sport.
"Hi," he said. He monitored her out of the corner of his eye as she opened the fridge and started eating directly from a carton of leftover Thai.
"I like it when you cook," she said. "All evidence to the contrary."
Elliot risked an actual glance.
"Yeah?"
"I mean, you shouldn't stop just because I eat other things, too."
"Leftovers are a perfectly valid breakfast food,"
Hardison said, yawning as he hobbled into the kitchen. He didn't have his crutches, because he was a stubborn idiot, but at least the bottle of Tylenol was clutched in his hand. Even if I am more partial to pancakes and bacon than cold noodles and peas at 9 a.m. You don't have any bacon in your fridge, Elliot told him. And I'm making omelets. Is there coffee? Hardison said. He fumbled in the cupboard and winced, trying to balance on his right leg. He was a stubborn idiot, apparently here just to make Elliot's life hell. Sit down before you kill yourself, Elliot said gruffly, and poured a mug for him. I just mean, I know it's how you take care of us, Parker said, smoothing down her hair with long fingers. I like it. Milk? Hardison said plaintively. Elliot thrust the milk carton at him and met Parker's eyes. Okay, he said. I won't stop. Elliot and Parker had to go in that afternoon to close the White Tiger job, which Nate had been forced to alter on the fly, what with Hardison out of commission. Not that it was all that different from how they regularly pulled jobs. Sometimes, Elliot thought the way Nate seemed to thrive so close to the edge was going to do them all in. The thing was simple enough that Hardison wasn't physically necessary for the denouement, as Sophie put it, but he insisted on listening in over the comms and monitoring the visuals remotely. They left him set up on the couch. Parker warned him that if he tried to balance his laptop on his injured leg, she would throw his computer off the balcony. Hardison's half-indignant, half-terrified expression was totally worth the 10 minutes Elliot had spent running all the stupid wires and cords from the desk over to the couch. Elliot got to punch one of the bodyguards this time, which made him feel a little better about things in general. The Mark flung himself off a goddamn cliff by giving up the account access codes and then implicating himself in over a dozen felonies within hearing distance of the cops. He was carted off in a cruiser while Sophie started to make some calls, arranging care for the animals already in his four-car garage turned makeshift zoo. Parker was giddy over getting to touch a flamingo, and, on the drive back, she was flushed and excited and talked at greater length and higher volume than usual. It was a bit weird, and Elliot wondered abruptly if he was the third wheel and Parker just didn't know how to tell him. Before he could properly process this humiliating and unnerving thought, Parker brushed her hand lightly across his cheek. Surprised, Elliot turned to look at her, but she just gave him a smile, enigmatic and fleeting, and changed the radio back to the country station he liked best. It wasn't until Elliot was turning his key in the door of Hardison's apartment that he realized there hadn't ever been a question in his mind that they'd come back to Hardison's. Thank God you're back, Hardison said when they came in the living room. I need your help to take a shower. I am ripe, Jesus. You should have told me. They wrapped his ankle in plastic shopping bags. Then, to save him from hopping dangerously around in the shower on one leg, they made him soak in the tub with his leg propped up on the side. Elliot had to go back in once he was done to give Hardison a hand standing back up again. He kept his eyes virtuously averted and tried to think sobering, softening, unarousing thoughts. It didn't work. Not when he was so intensely aware of all that warm, slick skin and the weight of Hardison's tall, muscled body leaning into him. Thanks, man, Hardison said, when he had a towel wrapped around his waist. His hand was warm and steady where it gripped Elliot's shoulder, and there were water droplets clinging to his abs, and that time Elliot really did bolt. He told himself that he wasn't going to spend the night again. He had a perfectly good apartment of his own, just a 15-minute drive away. But then Parker fell asleep on his arm in the middle of the dark night, and Hardison said, low and strangely uneasy, Look, man, could you just... stay?
So he found himself curled again on the edge of the king-size mattress, listening to two sets of low and peaceful breathing into the night. When Elliot woke up, he was still facing the wall. He could feel someone's knuckles settled against the small of his back, just resting there, warm and easy and comforting. He rolled carefully out of bed and stood for a moment, looking at them. Parker's face was tucked against Hardison's shoulder, and his arm was wrapped around her. Hardison's other arm was stretched out across the bed, his hand curled into a loosed fist, like he was reaching for someone who wasn't there. Elliot forced all of them outside after breakfast. Hardison moaned and bitched about moving off the couch, but he was fine once he was actually sitting on the park bench in the sunlight. He was especially pleased once he figured out that he could leave them eating his dust when he set up a good rhythm on his crutches. Parker whistled a little in quiet bursts and stutters, and doodled with permanent marker on Hardison's cast. She was currently in the middle of tracing the floor plan of the Louvre on the sole of his foot. "What song is that?" Hardison said when the whistling trailed off again. Elliot thought it was crazy to assume that it was any kind of recognizable tune whatsoever. This was Parker, after all. "A song about us," she said matter-of-factly. "Money, money, money," Hardison guessed. Elliot snorted. "Nope," she said cheerfully, though she had paused in the floor plan to draw a euro sign on the top of his foot. "Just our own song." If anyone was likely to have a soundtrack in her own head, it was probably Parker, Elliot reasoned. Still, he was surprised how warm it made him feel when he caught her humming again as she came out of the bathroom that night. That same little snatch of almost tuneless melody. "We've got a new client," Nate said. He and Sophie had turned up unexpectedly the next afternoon. First thing, Nate had held out a file to Hardison and told him to start running down the background info on all their leads. "If you're not feeling up to it," Sophie started, intercepting the file and leveling a look at Nate. Hardison glared at her. "What are you... give me that," he said. "I am more than up to it, thank you very much. I don't need a damn leg to operate a computer." He muttered his way over to the desk and started calling up databases. Sophie looked slowly around the apartment, and Elliot saw her taking everything in. Parker's harness rigged up near the sliding glass doors to the porch. Elliot's copy of The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly on top of the TV. Parker's tangled ball of knitting yarn on the coffee table. Elliot's workout bag tossed casually by the open closet in the hallway. The remains of three breakfast settings at the kitchen table. "Are you all three living here?" Sophie said. "What?" Nate said. "Yes," Parker said. "It's purely a temporary arrangement," Hardison said quickly. "Just while Hardison is," Elliot said, and waved his hand meaningfully at Hardison's leg. "Hmm," Sophie said, and eyed them speculatively. Elliot wondered if maybe there was some kind of weird space-time dimensional portal thing, specifically involving Hardison's bedroom, that was screwing with his head. It didn't seem to matter what happened during the day, but at bedtime, Elliot always seemed to forget he even had an apartment until it was too late. It was probably a bad idea to mention space-time dimensional portals, though. He'd have to sit through more Doctor Who episodes. He didn't stick to the edge of the bed anymore, either. Sometimes he woke up so close to them he could hear Hardison's heartbeat, a gentle thump-thump, under the sound of his breathing, and smell the citrusy shampoo Parker used in her hair,
the soft tanginess teasing the end of his nose.
"I should get home soon," he said the next morning. He'd been up since 5, and he'd spent the morning sitting by himself at the kitchen table, trying not to leave before they got up.
"What?" Hardison said.
"No, you don't," Parker said.
"I have an apartment of my own," Elliot pointed out, irritated.
He glanced down and realized he'd curled his fingers tightly around the handle of his coffee mug. It was a bad habit, a tell, that he'd dropped years ago. He unwound his fingers and forced his hand to relax.
"But you don't have to live there," Parker said.
She looked over at Hardison appealingly. Hardison was silent for a minute, his eyes fixed on Elliot. Elliot stared right back at him, unblinking.
"No, right, yeah,"
Hardison said finally, and something in Elliot's gut twisted.
"Everybody needs to have their own space. No one's making you stay here, man."
"No one's making me stay here either," Parker said. There was an edge to her voice that rubbed Elliot's nerves raw.
"You're different," he said, and ignored the way her face flattened a little when he said it.
It wasn't like he hadn't been back to his apartment at all. He'd stopped by a couple times to pick up clothes and his shaving kit and shampoo and other odds and ends. It was different, though, walking in the door with his gym bag stuffed full of all the things that had somehow managed to migrate over to Hardison's apartment. The familiar off-white walls didn't feel safe and private and calm anymore. They were just lonely. There were 3 plump tomatoes in the miniature greenhouse on his balcony that were this close to overripe. He chopped them into a pasta sauce and drizzled it over penne with chopped Italian sausage and fresh basil for dinner. He very carefully didn't think about how many leftovers he packed into Tupperware in the fridge. Elliot woke up when Parker dropped in through a bedroom window he'd swore he wedged permanently shut when he moved in. He had a hand on a pressure point on her shoulder before he woke up enough to realize who it was. She brushed impatiently at his hand, apparently unconcerned that he could have had her unconscious on the floor in seconds.
"I'm not different," she said, like they were still in the middle of a conversation that had ended hours earlier.
Elliot could think of any number of responses, but he crossed his arms over his chest and settled for,
"What the hell are you doing coming in my window at 3 in the morning?"
"Couldn't sleep," she said. "Hardison's been playing video games nonstop since you left. It's really annoying." She added, "He won't even wear headphones."
"That's why you need your own apartment," Elliot pointed out.
"That's why we need you," Parker said. "He's only being annoying because you left." Elliot stared at her for a minute.
"It doesn't matter. I should leave," he said. "It's safer. I..."
He stopped and clenched his hands into fists.
"I froze," he blurted suddenly.
Parker blinked at him. That loose feeling in his stomach was back again, writhing, and Elliot took a breath, struggling to find steady ground.
"When I saw Hardison lying there," he said, "it was... I froze. And for a good minute, we were all completely goddamn vulnerable."
"We weren't in any danger," Parker said matter-of-factly. Elliot winced, thinking of that weirdly stretched-out moment when he'd stood there, totally immobile and so far away from them. Guilt gnawed at him, and behind it, fear. Fear that it would happen again, that he would let it happen again.
"Not the point," he managed.
Parker sat down next to him on the bed,
Her hair shone in the streetlight coming in through the window, and Elliot couldn't look away from her.
"It can't just be you looking out for us," she said. "We take care of each other."
Elliot reached for the familiar phrase like a life raft. They did that. The whole team did that. It had always been Elliot's job, and he was good at taking care of people. Except when it came to Parker and Hardison and him. They were... It was more. It was more, and it was... being taken care of, too. And Elliot didn't know what made that so damn different and so damn hard.
"We can't sleep," Parker said, a little plaintively.
Elliot took a deep, shuddering breath.
"Okay," he said. He hustled her out the door, pointedly locking it behind them, and then he drove them home.
"You're back," Hardison said. "In the middle of the night." He squinted up at Elliot, from where he was firmly entrenched in the couch cushions, surrounded by chip bags, gummy packages, and bottles of that gross orange soda. It didn't look like he had shifted his ass an inch since Elliot had left.
"Yeah," Elliot said simply.
"Time for bed," Parker said, and before Elliot realized what she was doing, she pulled him down to kiss him, a too quick brush of her mouth against his, wet and warm and soft. Elliot found himself reaching for her as she danced gleefully backwards, a smug grin breaking out on her face.
"No, please," Hardison said, sounding strangled. "Don't stop on my account."
"It's the three of us," she said firmly, her fingers wrapping tight around Elliot's.
"All three."
Hardison darted a glance at Elliot, and his eyes were hopeful and anxious all at once. Elliot tightened his grip on Parker's hand and gazed steadily back at him, trying to slow his racing heartbeat. Hardison was a smart guy. He'd be able to get it. He'd know what Elliot was saying and what he was not saying.
"Bed now," Parker said, and added, "Doctor's orders."
Elliot barked out a laugh, and Hardison said lightly,
"Oh, well, in that case,"
and hoisted himself out of the squalid nest he'd made in the couch. There was something still churning restlessly in Elliot's gut, an uneasy rumbling, a warning. But it eased a little as they went into the bedroom together. It eased even more when Hardison kissed him for the first time, slow and uncomplicated swipes of his tongue and lips. Parker slid her hands over both of them and demandingly pushed them onto the bed. Hardison turned his head to kiss her, and Elliot couldn't stop staring at how they looked together. The faint flush of Parker's skin, the toned muscles in Hardison's back, the way their hands touched one another. As he watched, Parker twisted her body against Hardison's at just the right angle to stop him from bumping his cast, and Hardison cradled the curve of Parker's skull gently in his hand while he kissed her. They both turned to look at him then, and somehow there was space for him there, too. Like a miracle or a last-second goal or a one-in-a-million shot, he slid into the gap between them on the bed. Except the only thing miraculous about this was the way it felt simple and natural and goddamn inevitable, like a lock clicking, like a circle closing, like his heart easing. In the morning, Parker whistled a little in the shower, a familiar little snippet of not tune, while Hardison hobbled around in the bedroom without his crutches, muttering about clean underwear. They should take Parker up on her suggestion to visit the zoo again, Elliot thought, stretching himself out lazily on the king-size mattress. He found himself grinning up at the ceiling for no good reason at all, and wondered how quickly he could convince them to come back to bed. But after that, they should go back to the zoo. The three of them definitely owed that gorilla a whole truck full of bananas. The end.
Thank you for listening, and thank you to Scientilia 10 for having a blanket permission to Podfic statement. This Podfic was created as a gift for Lunate 8 for the informal Twitter Podfic Exchange 2015. I hope you enjoyed it.